Hi, I'm Pastor Sandy Shear. Thank you so much for joining us for the Guts Church podcast. This week, we have the privilege to hear from Pastor Bill. The message was produced with you in mind, and we would love to hear your story of how God is showing himself faithful in your life. Share your story by emailing story@gutschurch.com.
I love the word. Don't you guys love God's word? I was just, and we're going to read God's word tonight just a little bit. But I'll tell you, I was looking at Ephesians, the first chapter today, and I added this to my notes because the key to this life is a life that we have to experience to get it. You know, I mean, we try to explain it, we try to commit to it, but until we truly experience it, because when we experience it, the perspective changes on everything. You know, God's word brings us a new perspective on health, on prosperity, on relationships, marriage, on forgiveness. You know, I mean, without God's word, it'd be impossible for me to forgive some people. But with God's word, oh my gosh, forgiveness has become real in my life. And you know, you look at the cards that you were naturally dealt in life. And because what happens is, and this even happens as Christians, people let you down. See, 100% of people are gonna let you down. It doesn't like you'll think, well, man, my pastor, he will never let me down. Trust me, at some point it's gonna happen. Okay, just let me prepare you. Most days I'm perfect, right, Sandy? But some days I hit like 98 or 99%. But most days I'm the perfect man. But then I hit to have those some days, you know? And you know I'm being facetious there. We all have that capability. But listen, our perspective has to change. And let me bring it into reality for you, okay, that'll make it crystal clear. Is we call the day that Jesus was crucified what?
Yeah.
Molly. But we call it Good Friday. And I don't know that that in real time there was much good about it. I mean, he got obliterated that day. Yet we call it Good Friday. You know why? Because we're on this side of the resurrection. We're on this side of Easter. So being on this side of Easter, that's Good Friday. Plus, I had a grandbaby born on Good Friday. So that's Good Friday. And if you hear stories, I don't think there was security called at Hillcrest, but they did hold us out of the room. There was a baby in there, and just one simple piece of glass between me and that baby, and they were having this, like, some kind of golden hour or something they called it. Are you going to do that? No, gosh, that's so stupid. But we're out there for over an hour, and nobody's telling us what the baby is. And they had one of those yellow wet floors deals that was kind of like this. I picked that thing up, and I had to hang over the rail, and I'm not as agile as I thought I once was. There's Charleston right there. But I was leaning over the rail. It was only like a 20-foot drop. I mean, I could land on my feet and run back up the stairs if I'd have fell. And I'm leaning over the rail, and I'm banging on that window during their golden hour, okay? So, and I would have thrown it, but there was a bunch of people downstairs that were wondering what the crazy man was doing upstairs with that wet floor. But that turned into Good Friday. But the perspective, listen, I want to talk to you guys about that tonight because I believe this is pivotal. The perspective is what happens when it is shifted and changes when we get on the resurrection side of that equation. See, then everything becomes real. You got to think that all of the disciples ran for cover when Jesus was crucified. Yet, years later, they were all martyred for him. They all stood. This group of teenagers hid because it was the darkest hour during those 3 days where Jesus was in the tomb, and they were wondering what the heck was going to happen. And because they were there when the skies went black. They were there when God turned his face from Jesus. They were there when people laughed at him and said, oh, good decision following him. Oh, the Messiah, how about that? They watched him die, okay? But yet, on this side of Easter, on this side of the resurrection, which we are right now, we're on this side of Easter. But you think about it, it was the game changer. I mean, all of those men, the whole known world, those 12, those 11 men, and then Bartholomew became the 12th, those 12 men then turned into a movement that changed the whole world. You know, that what Easter did, it changed everything, and it changed the perspective of the world. And I look at that, and I think about that, and we go to Ephesians, the first chapter, and I think it's the 17th, 18th, and 19th verses, that it says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you, listen, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Let's stop right there in verse 17. The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, in us knowing him, not knowing about him, but it's an intimate knowing, it's a trusting knowing. Man, it's a knowing that I'm gonna put all my trust in him, every bit of it. Man, if this fails, I'm done, I'm cooked. I don't have a plan B. It's Jesus and that's it. But see, we look at this, now this spirit of wisdom and revelation is a game changer because that's what changes our perspective. That's what puts us in a place where we can truly activate our trust or really put our trust in God. And see, when we activate our trust in God, then mountains moved. Then life changes. Then miracles happen. But see, it's that perspective part of it. And what we have to have is we have to have that spirit of wisdom and revelation. We have to have that shift in our perspective that gives us. And you look at what happened for Easter, the whole perspective of the whole world changed. Everything. It's like, oh my goodness. And is still today. The world does not know how to deal with Jesus. Do you understand the first century that the Christians stopped using the Roman currency because it said, in Caesar we trust. So Christians quit using it and nearly bankrupt Rome. You know, you think about it today, that if today, just think of what the body of Christ, and I'm not talking about as a voting block. When we relegate ourselves and minimize ourselves and marginalize ourselves to that, it's pitiful. But you understand, the world is trying to legislate Jesus out of everything. And you know what? All we do is whine and gripe and complain about it. Rather than, let me just tell you, be the movement that God's called us to be. But see, what that requires is a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Write that down. A spirit of wisdom and revelation. It's key. It's the principal thing. This understanding, this revelation that God gives us, that changes our perspective on everything. And it's the eyes of your understanding are enlightened then. Man, the hope that comes into your life, the riches, the glory, the power that comes into your life. See, that's what it is. It's hope and riches and power that come alive in your life. And you know what? And then you can't help but act like it. You really can't. See, and we talk about this life of faith, and we, to our flesh, let me just tell you, this life of faith to our flesh is brutal. Man, when we want to trust God, when we want to live a life of faith, our flesh gets brutalized. It's torture. It's like, oh my gosh, it's the hardest, it's the toughest thing that we could ever do. Yeah, if we live by the flesh and we see things by the flesh or our experiences, that's the truth. Or that's factual. But see, we have to understand that Jesus said, you take my way, it's easy. The weight that I'm going to require you to carry, it's light. And see, as a matter of fact, that word, the term, he said, my burden, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. That means that you, without the burden that Jesus gives you, that's weightier than with it. When it says light, it means that you're lighter with him than you are without him. Yet he calls it a burden because it's a burden to our flesh. It's a burden to our intellect. See, it's so hard. Any of you guys that are black and white and you're factual people, it's so hard. It's just so amazing. It's easier for you to If it's easier for you to describe or articulate the gap in the Big Bang Theory than it is to your trust in God. And see, we look at this perspective. It's simple. Listen, revelation from the Holy Spirit. See, the revealed knowledge of God and the understanding, this knowledge, when the Bible talks about knowledge, it's similar to that Joseph knew not Mary, yet she conceived a child. Okay, that knowing, it's an intimate knowing. See, and it's not in a sexual sense there. It's an intimacy. It's in that sense that we get to that knowing of God provides us. Listen, when we truly know God, that revelation part of it's easy. I'll be honest with you, revelation of God's word is easy for me now. Because you get on a track. And the track of reading his word, and I'm going to show you here in a minute, but the track of us reading God's word brings an intimacy. See, when I think about God, when I express my need to God, I think that there's a connection with me and God. But when I pray God's word, when I do what we're going to do here in a couple minutes together, it brings me to an intimate place with God, to a place where it's like, oh my gosh, this life is going to absolutely work. We're going to overcome. This is going to be amazing. See, because everyone in this room, everyone watching on the internet right now, man, everyone sitting in our churches in Sepulpa and Skytook right now, every one of them you've taken the enemy's best shot, yet you're here. You didn't cave. You didn't run for the hills. And see, why? Because you're on a track, listen, to trust God. The perspective of the crucifixion, it changed after the resurrection. It went from being the darkest hour to Good Friday. It went from being the worst. And listen, and these experiences are going to happen in your life. I believe by the Spirit of God, there's people in this room that are watching right now that are listening to this podcast. Listen, there's things that are happening in your life now, and you're thinking, it is the darkest hour of my life. And let me just tell you what's going to happen. Dawn. What's going to happen is joy. In Philippians, the fourth chapter, the fourth verse, Paul writes and says, rejoice in the Lord always. And then he said, I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord when? Always. That means through everything. What do? We rejoice in the Lord. See, and I believe that this is a primary, elementary point of our trust in God, our faith in God, because we can rejoice no matter what we see or how we feel, no matter what we're going through. Rejoice. Why? You can say, well, how can I do that? It's because you're on the Easter, you're on the resurrection side of the crucifixion. Man, that dark hour that Jesus took eliminates the dark hours that we have from catching hold of us, laying hold of us, you know, staying and lingering. Verse 5, let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing. Please, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which transcends, which overpowers, which surpasses all of your understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Man, when you're in a place where fear is coming into your life, man, some of you guys, you might have it with your children where there's a door that's been opened and fear is inhabiting their life. It might be spiders. It might be the dark. It might be something else. Let me tell you, what the enemy wants that to be is normalcy for him. And when it becomes normalcy for him, it provides an opportunity for the enemy to come in and show a spirit of fear. But the Bible says God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. Man, a sound mind. Why? Because the peace of God, which surpasses, which eclipses, which is greater than all of our understanding. Listen, now what does it do? Guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I'll tell you, if you deal with fear, if you have a family member that deals with fear, if you have a friend that deals with fear, let me tell you, we cannot hold back. We can't. We can't draw back. We can't hold back when it comes to professing God's promise and God's word. Man, you've got somebody you love, or somebody, it might be you or somebody that you love, that has a spirit of fear that's occupying their life. Man, you know what you do? You go right to Philippians here. Philippians, the 4th chapter, the 7th verse, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Man, there's so often that I'll take this word and I'll make it personal. I'll make it first person for me. God, I just thank you that your peace is occupying my life. God, I thank you that your peace surpasses all of my understanding, and your peace will guard my heart and guard my mind in Christ Jesus. Now listen, that the action there, in Christ Jesus, the action here is God to man. Remember, if the order of the name of Jesus is Jesus Christ, the action is man to God. But the action here in Philippians 4:7 is Christ Jesus. It's God to man. Here, so when the action is God to man, you just receive it. You just take it. God, I just receive your peace right now. God, I thank you that your peace, which surpasses all of my understanding. See, the Bible says the word of God's alive and powerful and sharper than anything. Man, it will accomplish what God sent it to accomplish. See, God had your heart. God had your mind, had your soul. He had that in the center of his heart when he inspired Paul to write that in the letter to the church of Philippi. And let the peace of God, allow it. God, I let it. God, I let your peace. The Amplified says, to rule and reign in my heart, to act as an umpire. See, you'll have a fear that'll come into your life. And I love this analogy because I love baseball. And I love Jesus, so I love the Cardinals. Because Christians are cardinal people, okay? But and you guys might not, but it's all a revelation thing too. You guys might be immature Christians and root for another team. But listen, and I'm serious. But God loves the Cardinals. We're cardinal people. But we look at this, and there's something that'll come into my life that some of you guys that are pregnant women and men whose wives are pregnant, I believe that the enemy just continually tries to hit them. You know, I remember when Sandy, I was with her one time at the grocery store, and she was 5 months pregnant with Taylor, and we ran into a woman that at the grocery store, and she said, "Oh my gosh, how far along are you?" And Sandy said, "I'm 5 months." She goes, "Oh, I lost my baby at 5 months." And I remember thinking, "Devil, you're a liar. God, I just thank you right now in the name of Jesus." I think, I don't even know that it even registered with Sandy, but I'll tell you, it hit me right in the center. I took grave offense to it as the man of my house. It's like, not on my watch. That is not going to happen. And see, what we have to do is we've got to be those people that we let it, we allow the peace of God, rule and reign as act as an umpire. So what's going to happen is that might have been a thought that the enemy was trying to get through to me. And you know what? Man, all that's going to happen is that the ball's going to be hit and it's going to be put into play. But you know what? That God's going to act as an umpire and say, foul ball. That ball's not in play. That ball doesn't count. Get up there. Take another swing. And see, and that's the peace of God acts as an umpire in our lives is what the Amplified says. See, and we look at our lives now, where do we go with this revelation? How do we get to a place where it becomes a part of our life? Man, I keep thinking about God's healing provision and the culture of this church that we put a premium on God being the healer all the time, everybody. And I just thought, you know, it might be time for us as a church to start a national campaign toward that. It might be time for us as a church to start a movement just because of everything that all the buildings that are being built and most of the advertising on television and the radio, man, it's pharmaceuticals or it's medical. And it's, man, people need so much help regarding their health. But you know what? Man, we know where divine health comes from. It's God's promise. It's God's provision in his word that he went around doing good. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He went around doing good and healing all. See, that's who Jesus is. That's the heart of God. That's the revelation that we have to have. In 1 Peter, the first chapter and the 3rd verse, Peter wrote this as a 90-year-old man. He wrote this and years and years and years after the resurrection. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy. How many of you guys are thankful for God's abundant mercy? Super abundant. How many of you guys are thankful? How many of you guys are just thanking God right now for his super abundant mercy that he shows us in our lives? Listen, who according to his abundant mercy, it's actually super abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope, or in the margin of your Bible or in your notes, write, a life-giving hope. Let me tell you what hopeless is, death. Let me tell you what the hope that God gives us, that he has birthed it. It says he's begotten in us, or birthed in us. It's life-giving hope. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance. Man, I've underlined the resurrection. I've underlined an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and does not fade away. Everything that the world is going to offer that we're going to gain from the world is going to end up fading. I'm just telling you, the only thing you're going to value at the end of your life are the things that God's brought into your life. Man, the things that you've scratched and clawed and tried to make happen, man, none of that stuff's going to have any value for you. Man, the things that God's given you, God's blessed you, you didn't have to sell out any of your soul for. Man, you didn't have to give up any of your character or any of your integrity to get it. Man, those are the things that you really truly value. An inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away. Reserved in heaven for you. We access heaven in the name of Jesus. See, this inheritance right now is reserved. You've got a warehouse. You've got a facility in heaven that has everything that God's blessed you with. The Bible says you're blessed in heavenly places in Christ. You access those heavenly places by the name of Jesus. God, I just thank you today for health in this room, for peace in people's minds. In the name of Jesus. See, what's happening is there's angelic hosts now that God uses, that you serve, that brings those things to fruition in your life. See, that's what angels do, man. They're here to serve God at the pleasure of the King. And you know what they do? Perform God's word. Who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice. See, all this is, let me just tell you, that verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, that's just us accessing Zoe. It's us accessing the God kind of life. See, I know how to live the Bill kind of life. I know how to live my parents' kind of life. I know how to live my mentor's kind of life, you know, but hold it. God, there's a God kind of life that God stored up for us that we access in the name of Jesus. See, that's what Peter's writing here. In this you've greatly rejoiced, verse 6, though now for a little while, if need be, you've been grieved by various trials. This should perk some of your attention. You're going through something. It's one of your darkest hours, one of the most difficult times, one of the most difficult things you've ever had to endure. That the genuineness of your faith, see, that's all this is going to prove. All this is going to prove is whether, and let me just tell you, the proof is not to God or other people, it's proving to yourself the genuineness of your faith. The genuineness of your faith. Being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it's tested by fire. See, this test that we have, that God reveals to us, that it's a test of faith. It may seem like it's a tumor, or it's cancer, or it's some kind of pregnancy battle that you're in, or it's your kids' grades, or who they're hanging around with, or it might be financial. Let me just tell you. It's easy, it's comfortable for us to sit in a place of poverty on the earth. And poverty is not you having nothing. Poverty is you having just enough to get by. It's comfortable for you to live, especially in America, and live month to month, live hand to mouth. That's comfortable. I'll just tell you, it's easy. A lot of people do it. And see, what we want to do is we want to blame the tax system, or we want to blame the economic structure, or we want to blame who's in office. I'm not blaming anybody. You're not blaming anybody for any of that, are you, Sandy? No, we take control of our own lives. See, what God's done is God bought our life back. Jesus becoming the second Adam means that, you know what? I'm like Adam was before he fell. That's where I was restored to when I gave my life to Jesus. So now all I've got to do is stay away from that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. All I've got to do is continue to go to God's word, where I'm going to partake of the tree of life. That Bible that's sitting on your lap, that Bible that you read on your phone, that's the tree of life. You know what? You partake of the tree of life, all it's going to be is overcoming. All it's going to be is victory. You're not going to be able to lose from winning. It's just going to be the way of life that you have. But it's also a revelation that God gives you of his kind of life. Though it is tested by fire. Are you being tested by fire right now? Is every bit of common sense, is every bit of every feeling that you have, every external voice that's around you, do you just want to freak out? It's just a fiery test. That fire can't consume you. Do you understand that? See, God didn't promise you wouldn't go through the fire. Please hear me. God didn't promise you wouldn't go through the fire. God promised you it would not consume you. God didn't promise you the waters wouldn't rise on you. God just promised you they wouldn't overtake you. So what do? We battle. What do? We grind. What do? We find our place of faith. And let me tell you, for some of you, no matter how many years you've been off of it, you've had a bad attitude, something deflected you. You took a detour in your righteous path. You know what? None of that's an excuse. You're here and it's now, and I believe this is a word from God for you. What God wants to give you, I'll tell you more than I want to preach it. We're going to be here most of the night for you to get it. We have locked the doors. Be prepared to fast. Slowly. Because I want you to get this. But let me just tell you, God wants you to get it so much more. That revealed knowledge of him, that revealed, listen, intimacy of him. And I just read in 1 Peter, and those words come out where he talks about God's super abundant mercy. Man, God can't love me. I don't even have a spouse. God can't love me. I've lost my kids. God can't love me. Fill in the blank. And let me just tell you, Jesus promised us in the world we would have tribulation. But to be of good cheer, he's overcome the world. See, it doesn't matter what kind of setback we've had, what kind of trial we've been under, what kind of fire you're going through. See, if you have gold, you want it to have gone through fire. You want it to be as pure as it could be. Well, you know what? More so, you want your faith to have been fire tested. See, there's no way I could stand up here and preach this to you if mine hadn't been. There's no way without having setbacks, battles that didn't end the way I wanted them to end. But you know what? What I have to do, because I've got to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith I'm called, because that's one thing that Paul asked for us, is I've got to step back up in this pulpit and preach God's promise and preach God's word. You know what? I got to make sure it's coming alive to me every single time, no matter what. And you know what? That just honors God. I don't live by how I feel. I don't live by what I've seen. I live by every word that comes out of his mouth. God, I just want more of you. God, that we receive tonight a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you and the intimate knowing of you, God. That's revelation right there. That's what it is, and that's what we live by. That's what we live by. We live by revelation. And we live by the revealed. We live by it becoming more real. What revelation is, it's more real to you than the facts. What are the facts? What if Bernie Sanders is our president? What if Hillary Clinton is our president? What if Donald Trump is our president? What if Jose Cruz, he was a baseball player, is our president? No, listen, none of that, do you understand? None of that matters, because the government of the kingdom that I live in now is on Jesus' shoulders. Wow. It's sure, it's steady. You'll say, but wait a second, what if the economy falls? What if? What if our borders collapse? What if? I'm just telling you, I know what God's word promises. And see, that's why the revelation has to become our life. The spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. That I know God so much. Man, what is it? The arrow by day and the fire by night or the whatever it is. It's none of that stuff's going to shake me. And I believe I'm speaking to people in here tonight. I'm telling you, it's time for you to grab a hold of the door of your heart and shut it. And I'm telling you, I'd get violent with it if I were you. I would send a message. I'll just tell you what I do. I send a message to the enemy. Man, when I'm like, oh my gosh, I believe the threshold of my heart has been breached. I think the enemy has gotten in. Heck no. No. Devil, I bind you in the name of Jesus. Okay, you know what that does? Bam! Stops him in his tracks. Devil, I command you to dry place, to seek rest, and to find none in Jesus' name. See, if there's been a curse that's upon your life, man, a financial curse. Don't raise your hands, but how many of you guys have had a health curse on your life, a financial curse in your home? Let me tell you, curses are easy. The Bible says we just have to send them back from where they've come. The Bible promises that, listen, a curse causeless has no effect. No, if you've been bought, if you're righteous because of the blood of Jesus, you know what it does? It takes the cause of the curse out of your life. Does that make sense? Give me some feedback here. See, so that curse that's been in your life, man, it might be lust, it might be pornography, it might be whatever. No, whoa, 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 time out. God, I just thank you in Jesus' name. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'm redeemed. You got symptoms? You got a medical report that kind of stops you in your tracks? You want to start Googling about it? I'll tell you, please repent of that. All that Google is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's all that is. You know what? You go to the voice of God. God, what do you say about that tumor? What do you say about that health report? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. God, I'm redeemed. God, I thank you today that the blood of Jesus covers a multitude of sin. More sin than you got time to commit. The blood of Jesus covered more of it than you could even have dreamt up, much less accomplished. Man, but we have to start where I started it. We rejoice. No matter what, no matter what you see or how you feel, you rejoice. You make yourself. Yeah, but it's disingenuous. Oh, I get it. It's uncomfortable to your flesh for you to rejoice. And then you know what? And I'm telling you, the key to my life, I've got haymaker, solid men in my life. They're going to hook up. Devil's got no chance. The enemy has no chance. Can't beat the guys I have. See, but the problem is, most of us want to be isolated. Most of us want to be an island. Most of us want to handle our own afflictions and our own stuff. You can't. If the enemy can isolate you, he will pick you off. I've seen too many friends, too many guys in ministry. Things that should have just winged them. Things they should have just put a cast on a limb and just recovered from it. No, it took them down. Didn't have to, didn't need to. But other men just find out too late. And it's revelation. God, reveal your heart to me. Then you start thinking about things that happen. You're like, God, that's not your heart. That wasn't you, God. That messed with my faith, but that wasn't you. And then you realize, wait, what I've been through lately, it's fire tested my faith. It makes me stronger. Man, just when you leave today, just read Philippians 4, I think 4 through 7, 1 Peter 1, 3 through 12, and just, if you have to, write it down. Otherwise, get a paper Bible and underline it and make notes in it. Get it real.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information about this message and others, please visit gutschurch.com.